All right, we're on Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, 75A in Pesachim. So if you remember yesterday, we began the seventh parak of Ketzet Solin, and the Tana, the Mishnah, taught us that Ein Solin Pesach, Lo Al Shvod, Lo Al Askela, that we're not allowed to roast the Korban Pesach on a Shvod. We said it's a metal spit, and we explained yesterday that if it's a metal spit, it's not Sliyesh, it's Sli Matechet, because the Matechet gets heated up. And the Torah says it has to be tzliyesh, so you can't do that. And you can't do it on an askalo, which is a grill, because then presumably also the middle, the way we thought, that the metal is heating it up. So then, but then the Gemara, somewhat, you know, strangely, the Mishnah says, Amr B'tzadok, Ma'asir B'gamliel, Shamar L'Tavi Abdo. There was an instance where the B'tzadok said there was an instance where B'gamliel, B'gamliel said to Tavi, his servant, Seivisli Lano to Pesach ala askalo, go roast it on the askalo. So that sounds like exactly the opposite of what the Mishnah just said. Now I should mention, I saw Rav Kahati brings down that the Yerushalmi brings down that indeed that's two different opinions. That Rabbi Gamliel does not subscribe to the idea that it has to be, either he holds it doesn't have to be Tzliyesh, he holds that Tzliyesh is just by Pesach Mitzrayim, and Pesach Dorot is not a din in Tzliyesh. That's one way that to understand it, according to the Yerushalmi. And then the other way is to say that he holds that Toldos Eish is the same as Eish. If something ultimately derived the heating from fire, it is considered to be fire. That's another way to go with it. But the Bavli, though, is going to learn that we're going to reconcile the opinions. So let's see back in the Gemara, and I inhale with Aleph, the second line. Okay, 75a, the second line, Charles. Okay, got it. Okay, so it says, Ein Solin HaPesach Chulei. So Masa the story. So the Gemara says the incident is a contradictory incident. It doesn't seem like it fits in well. So the Gemara says, Chisuri Mechser V'Hachi Ketani. It's as if there are words missing in the Mishnah, and this is the way that we should understand the Mishnah. Bim askala menukevet mutar. If it's an askala which is menukevet, that it's got a lot of holes in it, it's permissible. So the way Rashi learns here, even here, this machloket rishonim, the way Rashi learns that the askala, it's like our grills, like a lot of spaces between the wires. But the way Rashi learning that there's like two wires, you know, and then I'm just going to lean the Pesach with its, you know, pomegranate spit on it, so it's not really going to touch the metal at all. That's the way Rashi's learning. So it's really, in essence, still Sliyesh. That's the way Rashi's learning the sugya. So he says, "V'im aslamu kevet mutar, v'amar Rabbi Tzadok, ma'aser b'gamliel shamar l'tavi avdot, tzeiv tzelano l'pesach ala aslamu kevet." Go and roast for it on aslamu kevet, which means it has a lot of holes and a lot of spaces in it. Now, from the way that they brought down from the Rambam, it sounds like that the Rambam holds that even if the metal is touching the korban pesach, it's permissible because you have all the spaces where the fire is reaching it. And so the little pieces where the metal are, it doesn't seem like, according to the Rambam, that it's the Machria. But the other way is to learn the way I said it. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything I said so far?
If it's not touching the metal, what's the chidush?
So it doesn't seem like, in other words, its essence is really saying the same thing before. In other words, we couldn't understand how could he say that he could roast it on the askala. So the Gemara is explaining in a chinami, it was on the fire, so that it's not a stira. That's the way that you'd understand the sugya. That in other words, I guess the only thing is that there is metal that's involved. The metal, you know, is touching the wood, but it's not machria. So let's do the Rashi on this. He says the third white line in Rashi minu kevet. So he says asuya kibrichim ke'ein shalanu. It's made like brichim, or like poles. I mean, he's talking about like the where the metal is. Beish chalal gadol bein briach lebriach. There's a big space between, you know, one metal strip and another metal strip. You put the shvod is the spit with the wooden spit with the pomegranate that's holding up the animal. So Rashi learns mefurash that the korban pesach doesn't touch the metal. That's the way Rashi learns. But I said, like, it sounds like the way they brought down the art scroll, it sounds like from the Rambam that he learns that even the metal, a little bit of metal, could touch it. But that's the best they have with it. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let's keep moving. So we're on Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, 75A, around six lines down. Okay? So, Baimine Rav Chinina Bar Idi, Me Rav Ada Bar Ava. So Rav Chinina Bar Idi posts the following question to Rav Ada Bar Ava. Now, this is subject to connection with our sugya. This is a different halacha, and then we'll connect it to our sugya, okay? So he says, Tanurshi Sikoba Klipe Orla. Let's say you heated up an oven. And again, their ovens were earthenware ovens. You heated up the oven with Klipe Orla, or peels from Orla. So Orla, just remind everybody, is the fruit of the first 3 years of a tree. And the fruit is prohibited in not only Ba'achila, but it's also prohibited Ba'hana'a. So the Klipe Orla are considered like the fruit. So I'm not allowed to have any Hana'a from these peels. But that's the fuel. He heated up the oven with the Klipe Orla. So he says, Ugrafo, and then he shoveled out the tainted fuel. So there's no tainted fuel, but I still have a warm, hot oven. He says, Va'afabo at a pot. And in the warm oven, he baked a loaf of bread. So the Gemara says, L'divrei ha'oser mahu. So remember earlier in the Masechta, in the second parak, we had learned this sugya. So this was on Daf Chavav, Amud Beis. So over there, Rebbe said, again, so the issue over there was, if I use the Klipe Orla as fuel and I heat up the oven with it and I bake bread, is the bread permissible or not permissible? So there's more than one way to understand the machloket, but Rebbe holds that the bread is prohibited, and Rebbe held that Shevach Eitzim Bapat, that like there's a derivative, you know, in other words, you have the wood and the wood burns up, but the Shevach Eitzim Bapat, in other words, the derivative from the wood, which was like the burning wood, the burn, is in the pot. So you're getting benefit from it, the way Rebbe understands it, and then the Chum disagree with Rebbe. So now our Gemara says, now in our case, we don't have the Klipe Orla. Our case is one step even more removed from that. I took out the fuel. It's just a warm oven, a hot oven, and I bake bread in it. L'divrei Oser Mahu. So according to the one who's ostering on Daf Chavav, i.e. Rebbe, what would he hold in that case? Amarle Hapat Muteret. So again, this was a question that Rav Chinah Bar Idi asked Rav Adar Bar Abba. So Rav Adar Bar Abba said, even the Oser would say that the bread is permissible in this case. He says, Amar Lei, so he said to him, and here's going to come the connection with Korban Pesach, Amar Lei, Amar Rav Chinna Savo, Amar Rav Asim, Rav Yochanan, we have a memra that goes back to Rav Yochanan, and this is again the question that Rav Chinna Bar Idi is asking. He says, Tanur Shi Siko Grafo, let's say you had a hot oven, and then you shoveled it out, nothing to do with the Orla, but you had heated up the oven, and now you shoveled out the fuel. He says, Vitzalabo at a Pesach. And I guess the oven was so hot, you were still able to roast the Pesach in the oven. Ein zet sliyesh. So Rabbi Yochanan says it's not sliyesh. Even though the meat is getting cooked, it's not called sliyesh. He says, Shenemar, it's sliyesh, sliyesh, deipamim. Because the Torah repeats the phrase sliyesh. Sliyesh means fire roasted twice. He says, so since it repeats it twice, it's teaching me that bedafka, it has to be with fuel and a fire coming from the fuel. He says, so he deduces from this, Tama de Gali Rahman, it's liyesh liyesh de pamim. The reason I know that it's not good, it doesn't count as a roasted Korban Pesach, only because the Torah says liyesh twice to tell me that's a mir. So it has to be dafka with the fire. Halo Gali Rahman, I mean it's liyeshu, but for the fact that the Torah repeats it twice, left to my own devices, I would say it is sliyesh. In other words, it's heat that came from a fire, and you're roasting the Korban Pesach with heat that came from a fire, so I would think it's sliyesh. It's just because the Torah repeats the term sliyesh twice, it's telling me that there's a miyut, there's a limitation, and one case is not going to be good, and the case is not going to be good is when I've taken the fuel out of the oven. But for that, I would say that it is sliyesh. So the issue is, if Rebbe holds with Klipe Orla, when I burn it on the Klipe Orla, it's prohibited. But when I take the Klipe Orla, he holds it's not prohibited. But from this, it sounds like there's no difference. In other words, it's still like the essence. It's still like the fire that came from the prohibited fuel. Just like if I take the fuel out of the oven, shovel the fuel out of the oven. The Korban Pesach would be a sliyesh, except that the Torah says a special miyut, that it says it twice, but otherwise it's sliyesh. So that's the kasha. And I'll pause in a few lines. So Rav Adar Bar Abba responds as follows. So Amar Le, Gali Rachmana Hatam Yalfina Minah. So the first answer is that that's going to be the model to teach me that whenever the Torah teaches me Sliyesh. It's telling me that Sliyesh is dafka when the fuel and the fire is there for any halacha. So if it's if fuel and fire is not there, it's not called, you know, as being roasted on, in this case with the orla. That's the first answer. Be'ibroid ema, or else I could say answer number two, hatam tama de katav rachmanat Sliyesh de pa'amim. Over there, the reason that the Torah says I can't use it for the Korban Pesach, because it repeats it twice, Sliyesh. So have the Torah not repeated it twice, I would have said that the Torah is makpid on fire, but filu grafo nami slieshu. And even if you shoveled out the fuel, it's still called slieshu. That's what I would have said. He says, Abal hacha, here, when it comes to the loaf of bread that's being cooked, you know, with the heat that came from the klipe orla, aval hacha eitzim d'isura kapit rachmana. Here the Torah is focused on the eitzim of isur, with wood that's prohibited wood. He says, v'halit nahu, the prohibited wood isn't there. So, in other words, he's saying it's really two different analyses. The second answer, let's go back and then we'll take it. Okay, so the, let's go back. Or let me just give the answer, then I'll repeat the answer, and I'll repeat the whole sugya, okay? So the answer he's saying is that the two are very different analysis. One analysis, is it Sliyesh? Do I consider a Korban Pesach that's been cooked in an oven without fuel there to be Sliyesh, but for the limud from the repeating it twice? Yeah, I would consider it to be Sliyesh. It had a Torah not repeated twice, Sliyesh. I would have considered it to be Sliyesh. But with the Klipe Orla, it's the Torah is Makbid B'dafka on the orla. In other words, it could be, in other words, there's a difference between when it's roasted by fire or am I deriving benefit from the klipe orla. So the klipe orla, they're not there. So it's too far removed from it. But in terms of like being at Sali, it's roasted from it. All right, let me repeat everything once more and then I'll take some questions, okay? So so again, we started off by reviewing Rebbe's halacha, which was connected to the sugya in the second parak on Daf Chafav. So over there, Rebbe said that if I have klipe orla, which are the peels from an orla is the fruit from the first 3 years of the tree, which are prohibited bahana, prohibited in benefit. If I heat up the oven with klipe orla, and then I bake a loaf of bread, so Rebbe holds that loaf of bread is prohibited because I derive benefit from the klipe orla. Now, the benefit I derive from the klipe orla is not quite so direct. Usually the benefit you get, in other words, you have a fruit, you eat the fruit, that's benefit. Let's say I smear the fruit on, you know, I use it for some medicine or something, that's direct benefit. Here, the fruit is getting burnt up and I'm using the heat. So anyway, but notwithstanding that, Rebbe says that the loaf is prohibited. So then Argamar said, let's say he heats the oven with klipe orla, he removes all the klipe orla, but the oven is still hot. Will Rebbe still say that the bread is prohibited? And the Gemara says, in this case, or this is what Rav Abba Bar Abba said, in this case, Rebbe will say the bread is permissible. If there's no klipe orla, Rebbe's going to say it's permissible. Okay, that's the first yisod. All right, let me stop for a second. Any question on that part of the Gemara? Any question about the loaf of bread with the klipe orla up till now? Okay, so then Rav Chinna springs his question to Rav Abba Bar Abba. That's Rav Chinna Bar Idi. So he says that let's say when it comes to the Korban Pesach has to be Sliyesh. And this is nothing to do with klipe orla, but let's say I have a fire in the oven, and then I remove the fuel and the oven is still hot, and then I cook the Korban Pesach there. I roast the Korban Pesach in the hot oven. Does that count as Sliyesh? So the Gemara says it would count as Sliyesh, except the Torah repeats the term Sliyesh twice. When it repeats it twice, that's a miut, saying that there's like we have Sliyesh, but within that group we're going to, you know, cut away some. So therefore the Torah teaches me in this case it does not count as Sliyesh. But for the fact that the Torah repeated twice, I would say it is Sliyesh. So he says, if that's still considered Sliyesh, still roasting, even though the fuel's not there, so why does Rebbe make the chiluk between, you know, the case when the orla is in the oven and the orla is out of the oven? So he has two answers. The first answer is that that's the model. In other words, the Torah is teaching me this is the model by the Korban Pesach. So in general, you won't consider it to be Sliyesh if the fuel is not there. So if that's the model, then the klipe oil is not there, then I'm in the clear. Okay, any questions on the first answer so far?
Can you repeat that first answer? I'm not understanding the first answer.
Yeah. Okay, so the first answer is, by the Korban Pesach, when I take the fuel out, is the Torah teaching me that we don't count it as Sliyesh, right? Right? You unmute yourself.
Yes, yes.
Oh, correct. Okay. So he's saying that that's the model for the whole Torah, so that whenever the fuel is not there, I won't consider it to be roasted from the fuel. Okay? Okay, so yes. So I'm in the clear with Klipa Yorla. Okay, the second answer. Well, what's up, Yisrael? Unmute yourself, Seth. Unmute.
Oh, you're answering. Still answering Yosef's question, right?
Say again. I just answered the question. Right.
You're still answering Yosef's question, right?
I answered it. I finished the answer.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I don't quite understand why mentioning it twice. What point does that make? Mentioning a fire roasting twice.
In other words, the Torah can mention it once. Then I know that it has to be Sliyesh. So the Torah mentions it twice. It's like teaching me there's a limitation on the term. In other words, it's super Sliyesh. Super Sliyesh. So Sliyesh means
one of the principles.
In other words, Sliyesh means you have a set of things that's called Sliyesh. Now repeat Sliyesh twice. So like the I have to cut away from the circle, like from the edges of the circle.
So what do you mean it cut away from the edge of the circle? You mean
this is the way the Torah codes messages to the rabbis. This is a code.
Yeah, I don't think the codes are just for the rabbis. Okay, let's.
I'm saying the rabbis interpret it.
Oh, that's what I thought. Okay, I'm sorry, I misunderstood what you were saying.
But what does it mean? What is it?
It's one of the principles.
What's it trying to tell?
All right, let me try answering, and then you'll fill in, okay? All so right. I would say like this. You have the term Sliyesh. That means it's roasted on the fire. Roasted on the fire could mean I have a fire, it's roasting on the fire. Or roasted on the fire could mean there's no fire there, but the oven's still hot, it's still roasted on the fire because it came from a fire. But now you're repeating Sliyesh twice, the term is like shrinking. So part of that set, it's like imagine like a circle with
it's a more specific thing,
more narrow. We're narrowing the term. We're narrowing the term. We're narrowing the category.
Oh, narrowing the category. Okay. To what? To what? Just
to just where the fire is there with the fuel.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Now let's go to the second answer that the Gemara had. So the second answer he said is that the two are in opposite as. Attorneys like to say, make you feel comfortable, Michael, make you feel at home. Anyway, so he says that over by, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, the issue is it Sliyesh? Is it roasted on the fire? So it's not considered roasted on the fire. It would be roasted on the fire, but for the fact that the Torah repeats it twice. So it would be considered to be roasting on the fire. But when it comes to the Isur with Klipe Orla, there the issue is, am I deriving benefit from the Klipe Orla, which is a different analysis. In other words, the issue isn't whether it's Sliyesh or not Sliyesh. The issue is there enough of a connection from the Klipe Orla to the product to say I got Hana from the Klipe Orla? So he's saying if the Klipe Orla, they're not even in the oven, so then it's too far removed. In other words, even when you had the Klipe Orla in the oven, there was a machlok between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe said the bread is prohibited, and the Chachamim say it's permissible because the Klipe Orla, it's getting burnt up. One of my friends is Rabbi Yonatan Drury said to me, it's like, you know, the essence of it is getting burnt up. It's not, in other words, you're adding fire to it. Fire is like another element you're adding to it. And now it's getting burnt up. But Rebbe says, even that's the Hana's prohibited. But when I take the whole thing out of there, then even Rebbe like says, that's it. You know, it's not considered Hana from the Klipe Orla. Okay, who's got questions on the second answer? Okay, let's go on. All right, let's take a look. Okay, we're on Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. Tan Rabbanan, we're midway down the column, okay? All right. So Tan Rabbanan Chachon Atenol Gabi Kachalim. So the way Rashi learns this, I have the animal, the lamb, we'll say, for the Korban Pesach. I brought it home, and instead of putting it on a fire, I sliced it. And when it says Chacho, doesn't mean he dismembered it. He just cuts it open and doesn't cut through any bones naturally, but he's just, and he doesn't even like separate the limbs. He just makes slits in the animal. He says, "Unatanol gabi chalim." And now he puts the Korban Pesach on coals, on hot coals. So instead of putting it on a spit, like the way the Mishnah said, he puts it on hot coals. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Omer, Omer Ani, she says Sliyesh. So Rebbe says, as far as I'm concerned, that's still Sliyesh. Okay? So the Gemara says, Rami Le Rabachot Voy Barami, the Rav Chista. So Rabachot Voy Barami posed the following contradiction to Rav Chista. Miyamar Rebbe Gechalim Eish Ninhu. Did Rebbe really? So the idea is, the Yisoda is that Rebbe says that a coal is Eish because the Torah says Sliyesh. So coal equals Eish. Okay, that's the Yisoda. Remember that coal equals Eish the way Rebbe's learning. So did Rebbe really say that? Uraminhu, he posed a contradiction from the following Brisa. The Brisa is Michvad Eish. This is talking about Sara'at. Sara'at, you know, is like when the person has sort of an ailment, his discoloration of the skin. And Chazal teaches it comes from different Aveirot. The Gemara learns 7 different Aveirot, and the Medrash says 10 different Aveirot. But one of the types of tsaras is when it's precipitated by a burn, and then the burn heals, but there's a discoloration of the skin afterwards. So the Gemara says, Michvad Eish means like burning from the fire. So I only know that the person was burnt by fire. You know, whether he stuck his finger in the fire, let's say with that. Nichva begachelet. How do I know if he was burnt from a coal? He says, beremetz, which is hot ashes. Besidroteach, boiling lime. Begifsisroteach, that's burning gypsum. He says, v'chol davar shu ba min ha'or, and anything that comes from the fire. And here, that's the quote from the Brisa, but the Gemara interjects. In other words, the Gemara doesn't understand the Brisa. So that, when you see the Aramaic, you know that's the old Gemara coming in. So he says, la tuye chamei ha'or. In other words, that's an interjection. In other words, it's including, let's say, hot water. Minayin, how do I know that if he had any of these other heat sources, that it also, and then there's a discoloration of skin, so forth, that it's also tsaras that way. Tamalomar, michva riba. It says michva twice, which is a ribui. Here it's a ribui. Over there was a miyad. Here it's a ribui. So he says, tama de rabbi rachmana michva. So the reason that the part that we really needed is gachelet. In other words, the pshuto shemikra means fire. And the ribui is teaching me that even a gachelet, even a coal, is included as a fire. So the Gemara says the only reason I know the coal is included is because there's a ribui, michva. Hello, Rabbi Rachman, michva, gachalim laveishnanu. So had the Torah not repeated michva, I would have said the gachalim are not fire. So let's go back again. So the basic idea is Rebbe says you can take the Korban Pesach, or if you take the Korban Pesach and you put it on coals, that's Sliyesh. He considers that to be within the term that the Torah says it has to be roasted by fire, fire roasted, if I put it on hot coals. So coals equal fire. And yet by tsaras, by leprosy, so the Torah, the Gemara doesn't consider it ipso facto that fire includes gechalim. There's a ribu that teaches me that way, but for the ribu, I wouldn't know it. That's the stira. So let me just do the answer, then I'll pause. Okay, so Amarle, so this was this is Rami.
Rav Chista.
Yeah. So Rav Chista says to Rabbi Chadvoy, so Amarle, gachelet shel eitz lo itzrich kura l'rabuye. He says, that when the Torah, when the Bryce is talking about a gachelet, it's not talking about a wood gachelet. He says, ki itzdrich kro la gachelet shamatechet. So in other words, you don't say it like this. There's two, the gachelet is a coal, but I have a coal from different sources. So when Rebbe says that the coals are automatically sliyesh, he's talking about like a coal that came from a piece of wood. So that's the one that Rebbe says is eish. And that's but the Brisa, when it leads a ribui, teach me gachelet, it's talking about gachelet shalmatechet, a coal of very hot metal. That's what we want to say. So the Gemara says, let me just do a few more lines. I'll pause in a little bit, okay? The gachelet shalmatechet lav eishu, the Gemara says, you mean if it's a coal out of matechet, that's not eish. In other words, only I have a ribui by tsaras. Otherwise, it's not eish. Is that true? He says, v'agabi bat kohen, by Kohen's daughter, d'chtiv ba'ish tisareif. So if Bat Kohen is Mizana, So it says that she has to be burnt in fire. He says, "Va'ama Rab Matna p'til shel avara you osinla." That the burning in fire doesn't mean like we throw her into a burning fire. It means Rab Matna says that p'til shel avara you osinla. They took like a wick of lead and they heated it up and poured it down her throat. And we'll talk about it in a minute. He says, "Shaniel." So that seems to say that that gachel. In other words, it says ba'esh tisareif. She's burnt in fire. Now, we said before that a gachelet shalma techet is not considered to be fire. We said that only gachelet shal eitz is fire, and that's what Rebbe was talking about. And when the Braisa was teaching me the ribu, he was talking about gachelet shalma techet. So I need a ribu for gachelet shalma techet, but when we executing the bat kohen, it says ba'esh tisareif, she burnt in fire, and they take like this wick of lead and heat it up into molten lead and pour it down her throat. So the Gemara says shani hatam dam kura ba'esh tisareif. Tisareif, the Rabot calls sreifot haba'ot mena esh. So again, there, in other words, it would normally not be considered to be a fire with the molten metal, in this case the lead. It's just as again there's a ribui. Here he says the ribui. I think it's easy the way Tosfos learns it. If you look at the second last Tosfos, by ish tisareif lebot kol sreifot, but tisareif ribuyahu davamatz lemichta by ish tamut. Torah could have said by ish tamut she should die in fire. This is by ish tisareif she'll be burnt in fire. So the Gemara takes it that shinui lashon is teaching me there's a ribui and more things are considered to be sreifa. In this case, even the molten lead. He says so. The Gemara says v'chosh kenei shatzma. So if that's the case, certainly fire itself would be good. So he says, why don't we surround her? This sounds like the movies. Why don't we surround her with, burning vines, branches, and burn her up? So the Gemara says, "Ati strefa strefa b'nei Aaron." We learn in Gezeirah Shavah strefa sefer b'nei Aaron that we know that Elazar and Itamar they died. Remember in Parshat Shemini, and it says that b'nei Saraf. They were not the court. That's not the right pasuk. But let me try to remember the pasuk. That fire came from before God and consumed them. So the Gemara says, "Achis Srefa Srefa b'nei Aaron." So it says Srefa by b'nei Aaron, and it says Srefa by the daughter of the Kohen. Malahalan Srefa Srefa Nesham of Guf Kayam. Just like over by b'nei Aaron, there was a burning that kept the body intact. It's just the neshama got killed. So Chazal teach us that, like miraculously, like two long strings of fire came from Beit Kodesh Kadashim, went up their nostrils and killed them. He says, "Af kan strafet neshama guf kayam." So to here by the Bat Kohen, we want to like have something similar to that. So we're not going to do anything to the outside of her body. We're going to send the molten lead down the throat, and that's the way that's going to go. Okay, so the Gemara says, "V'navid lo chamei ha'or." Why can't we kill her with chamei ha'or? So the Rivan brings down two pshatim here in chamei ha'or. Chamei ha'or is either that we should pour, scalding hot water on her, or in the alternative, and apparently they assume that the body will still stay intact that way, or the other pshat is to pour, boiling hot water down her throat. He says, "Mishum to Rav Nachman," because Rav Nachman's teaching, "Da Am Rav Nachman Amar Kura Ba'Avtal Re'echa Kamocha." He says, "You should love your neighbor like yourself," right? Rabbi Kiva says the Klal Gadol B'Torah. He says, "Baror Lo Mita Yafeh." That includes picking a nice death for the people who are convicted of, the death penalty. He says, "V'chim Yachar De'ikaru Rav Nachman." So once I know that I have Rav Nachman's in Baror Lo Mita Yafeh, so I know that the molten lead would be the way to go with this. He says, "Gzeir Shava Lamali." Why do I need the Gzeir Shava from Bnei Aaron? So Amri, they said, "Ilav Gzeir Shava." If I wouldn't have the Gzeir Shava, Havamina Strefa Nesham of Guf Kayam Lav Strefahi. Then I would have thought that the molten lead isn't even called Strefa. I would have thought that that's not even considered Strefa. The Torah says Strefa. But Yimishum to Rav Nachman. And as far as Rav Nachman's teaching, Boral Mita Yafeh, so I would have said, Nefesh L'Chapilei Zmorot Tova, we'll have a lot of the bushes or the branches and light them up. He says, Ki Hechi D'Tamut Ba'agalah, she'll die quickly. Ba'agalah means quickly, like we have in Kaddish, you know, Ba'agalah B'Zman Karib, speedily and speedily. He says, Kamash Malan, and two more lines, and I'll pause and we'll summarize, we'll go over. He says, Bi'ela Ba'esh Lamali, so what do I need the word Ba'esh? In other words, I have Tisaref, that's going to teach me that I use the molten lead, and I know Barul Omitu Yafes. So what do I need the term Ba'esh? Lapuke Avar Me'ikaro. That will exclude Avar Me'ikaro. Avar Me'ikaro is if I just, I don't know, apparently I quarry the lead and it's naturally hot, that wouldn't cut it. That wouldn't cut it. All right, let me just pause for a second. We did a lot of pieces, Gemara. Let's just try to, you know, again, with Daf Yomi and learning in general, always try to, like, you know, I remember Braunschweig, who I studied with for a number of years, he would say, like, after you leave a shiur, you should think over in your mind what you learned. Like, each little section, think over, like, in a few lines, what you learned. So so we started the sugya with that if I put the Korban Pesach on hot coals, so Rebbe says that counts as Sliyesh. That's the first Yisod. The Gachelet is Sliyesh. So he said, is that really the case, that a Gachelet is Sliyesh? But we see by Tzaras, I have a special limud to teach me that if a person got burnt from a coal, that was counts as Michvat Eish. But for that special limud, I wouldn't know it. So the Gemara parried that question and said that that when Rebbe says a gachelet is sliyesh, he's talking about a wood gachelet. And when the Brisa was talking, the needle special limud, that was a metal gachelet. Okay, so that resolved that question. And then once we got into the Brisa, then we began to touch other things up. So the all right. Now, so the Gemara says gachelet shamatechet, that wouldn't be Aish. So he said, but by the Bar Kohen, he says, by HT Saref, says they used the lead there, and apparently they knew right away that that was the way it would work. So the Gemara says, T Saref is a rebuy to teach me that all burnings that come from fire cut it. So why don't we just burn her directly in the fire? And then the Gemara said, well, I have the Gezer Shava, it has to be Gufo Kayam, and the Neshama has to burn up like Bnei Aharon. And then we said, well, maybe we could, put the boiling water over her. And they said, no, but you have to be Borlo Mita Yafe. That's basically the thrust we had. All right. But the main idea to remember is that Rebbe holds a gachelet is equal to Aish. And we said the gachelet is a wooden gachelet. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on this last piece of Gemara? Okay. I'm moving on. Now, all right. Now, the Gemara, this is Ayin Hayman Aleph, the first very wide line, okay, and 75a, the first very wide line, okay? So, Amr Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zeira, B'chol Heichat Tzi Ba'esh Tisareif, the Rabot Kol Srifot Abot Machman Eish, meaning wherever it says Ba'esh Tisareif, which is like by the Bat Kohen, it teaches me that any death, anything that could be derived from the fire qualifies, as long as it came from fire initially. He says, who? But Gabi Parim and Nisrafim. Now, Parim and Nisrafim we've had before, but Parim and Nisrafim, it refers to the Chataot Pnimiot, that most korbanot are burnt on the, or the blood is sprinkled on the outer Mizbeach, and then certain parts or all the animals is burnt on the outer Mizbeach. But then there are Chataot Pnimiot, there's certain korbanot where the blood is sprinkled on the inner Mizbeach, and then the animal is burnt outside the Beis HaMikdash. And we have three the Parim and Nisrafim. So the three Parim and Nisrafim is if the Beis Din makes an erroneous ruling and most of Klal Yisrael follows it, so they have to bring, you know, a par that's burnt outside. And if the Kohen Gadol makes an erroneous ruling, that also is it. And then on Yom Kippur, as part of the Avoda, there's a par. That's, again, they're all Korbanot Chatat. So he says here, "Vagabi parim nisrafim dechtibahu v'saraf oto alayitzim ba'esh." He mentions saraf, and it says esh. "V'tanya ba'esh v'lo b'sidroteach." We learn the brisa; it has to be fire. It can't be burning lime. "Lo b'gifsis." It can't be roteach, not burning gypsum. So this is what Rabbi Yirmiyahu said to Reb Zeira. So we said by the Bakoim, ba'esh tisaref. That teaches me not just fire, but anything that the derivative of fire. And here, but it says the same terms by the chatot pnimiot, and we say no, that stuff has to be burnt on fire. So Amar Lei, so Reb Zeira said, Hachi Hasha, how can you compare the two cases? Hatam k'tiv ba'esh v'hadar tisareif. By the Bat Kohen, it says ba'esh tisareif. In fire, she will be burnt. He says the rabot calls streifot about machmana esh. That's to the ribui, anything that derives from fire. Remember the word tisareif we saw in Tosos was a ribui, anything from fire. Hacha k'tiv v'sarafot tov leitzim ba'esh. Here it flips the terms. You'll burn it al etzim ba'esh. Lebasof Aish. Aish is the last term. So he says, Lamemra, the Aisha and Mediachrina Lo. I thought of it, the way I thought of it is a little bit whether it's like Klal o Prat or Prat o Klal. In other words, when you have a Prat followed by a Klal, a specification like Aish Tisareif, and that's like the Klal. So, but Aish Tisareif teaches me anything's derived from the fire. But when it's the other way around, klal uprat, you're limited to the prat. And there was a generalization than the prat. So here it's just dafka fire. That's what he says. So he says, hatam nami k'tiva sreifa l'basof. So the story of Yirmiyah is not done. He says, but it's not true. It says in that same pasuk, so the pasuk says in the Torah, where's the pasuk? The pasuk says, where's the pasuk? Yeah, it says v'saraf oto alitzim ba'esh ashef chadesh and yisaref. So the first part is v'saraf oto alitzim ba'esh. So saraf and then esh. Saraf oto alitzim ba'esh. That part works out well. But then the last part of the pasuk says ashef chadesh and yisaref, where the ashes are poured, it will be burned. So the last part of the pasuk teaches the we have the yisaref at the end. So he says. Hatam namik tiv sreif lebasof dechtiv. Turn page. In Hayamid Bey's top line. Al shefa chadesh and yisareif. It should be burnt where the ashes are poured, and it means that there are, you know, like the truma. There's truma chadesh, and the Kohen takes the shovel full of ashes from the mizbeach every day, and so he says Amri hahu yisareifim by lechtan. He says that yisareif we use for a different limud. Yisareif afapisha ein sham deshen, that you have to burn the chatot pinimiot on that location, even if there's no deshen there on that day. I don't know where the deshen went, but there's no ashes there. Or even though there's no ashes there, he says. And then yisareif afapisha tzira or berubo, and you have to see that it's all burnt up, even though fire is already. Consume most of it, you have to stick around and make sure the whole thing turns to ash. Anyway, so the bottom line is that there's a difference between ba'esh tisareif and tisareif ba'esh. That's the difference between the chato pinimiot and the bat kohen. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on this last piece of Gemara? Okay, let's keep moving. Now,
you want to know where the deshen went? They cleaned it off. They cleaned off the mizbeach.
No, the mizbeach they clean off, that I understand, but this is where they take the ashes to put it. In other words,
the deshen, they threw it on the floor.
No. You're permissioning some things here. In other words, you're right. I misspoke. The trumas deshen every morning. You're right. They took a shovelful and they put it on the floor. That's true, and it got absorbed. But then every couple of weeks, they took the ashes from the mizbeach and brought it outside. In other words, they cleaned off the whole mizbeach and put it outside in the shefa chadeshen. That's what I should have said. So I don't know where all the ashes went. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? You're good? Everybody good? Okay, let's go on. Now,
the Gemara I thought said, it was a nace that it went back into the
floor. Okay. Again, there's Truma Hadeshen and Hotzad Hadeshen. Truma Hadeshen is every day a Kohen goes up to Mizbeach, takes a shovel full of ashes, puts it on the floor, and miraculously gets absorbed in the floor. But then there's Hotzad Hadeshen. The ashes keep piling high on the Mizbeach. Every couple of weeks, they clear all the ashes. They clean all the ashes. They take all the ashes and they take it outside to this place where the Shefa Kadeshin is. So, and that's where they're burning the Chataot Pnimiot. So, I don't know where all the ashes went. And it was the Braisa says, if there's no ashes that day, you still burn it in that location. So, I said, I don't know where all the ashes went. Okay? All right? Okay, let's see further. Okay, now. All right. Okay, now we're on the third line from the top. Now, if you remember, we hooked into this whole stira because Rebbe said that if you put the Korban Pesach on coals, that counts as liyesh, But then we had that brisa by Tzara'at, and it seemed to say there's a special limud that teaches me that a gachelet is included in Mechvat Eish. So we ended up saying one is wood and one is metal. So Ravina has a different answer. Let's see back in the Gemara. Ravina Mar Kroch Vitani, you should like wrap it in the first section. In other words, he's going to learn that the fire and the gachelet were the given. He says, Mechvat Eish, this is the way he understands the brisa, Ein li ela shenichva ba'esh uva gachelet. In other words, I only know that he's burnt with fire or with a coal. So in this version, like it's a given that the gachelet is the fire, so that it removes the stira. He says, Nichva beremetz, he's burnt with ashes, besid roteach, burning lime, uva gipsis roteach, or burning gypsum, or abamachmada, or latui chamea, or to include like boiling water. That was heated from fire. Minayin tamlomar michva michva riba. All right, so that's another way to answer the stira. Everybody okay with that? Okay, let's go on. Now, all right, now we're out to a slightly different topic. Rava Rami mi amar Rebbe gechalim ikru eish. He says, did Rebbe really say that gechalim are called eish? So whether I say it's a wood gechalet or according to the way Ravina had is any gechalet, but did he really say that Gachelet is called Eish? Uramini, we post contradiction. Now, this is talking about the Avod on Yom Kippur. So it says on the Avod on Yom Kippur, the Kohen takes coals from the outer Mizbeach and he brings it into the Kodesh Kadashim and then he applies the Ketoret to it, the incense to it, on Yom Kippur. He says, V'lakach Meloah Machta, the shovel full, Gachalei Eish. Like fiery coals. Fiery coals. That's the key. Fiery coals. So let's take a look back at the Gemara. Rimini, gachale, yichol omamot. So if it's gachale, I might think it's smoldering coals. Smoldering coals. He says, tamalomar, eish. So Torah says eish. E-eish, if it only said eish, yichol shall have it. I would think that he has to bring like a flame into the Kodesh Kedashim, Tamalomar Gachale, Haketzad, maybe Minalochashot. He'll bring from the flickering coals. So flickering coals, like you look at the coal, and you know, it's like turning red, it goes red, you know, it's different colors, red, not red, this, that, the other. It's like a blinking light is the Lochashot. So this Rabbi Yonatan Drury pointed out to me, there's a Rashi in an earlier sugya, that Rashi says like, when the coals are like flickering, it's like people talking to each other. Anyway, so that's called lochashot. He's trying to explain why it's called lochashot. Anyway, so he says here, so tamalomar gachle a kesa may be min a lochashot. Okay, so that's the brisa. So the Gemara says v'haguf akasha. The brisa is internally contradictory. So again, just means we have three methods of heat here, right? We have the Omamot is like the dim coals, which are the smoldering coals. Then we have going from less to the greater. Then we have Gechalim Lochashot, the flickering coals. And then we have Shalhevet, which is the flame itself. A, B, and C. Everybody got it? Okay, so the Gemara is going to say that Gachale Eish is the middle one, is the smoldering coal. So the Gemara says, Vagufakasha, the Bryce is internally contradictory. Amrit Gachale, you said when the Torah says Gachale, Yechol Omamot, I might think it's the like the subdued coals, the smoldering coals, Amal Lochashot Eishnanu. So that would lead me to think that if it's not Omamot, it's Lochashot, it's flickering, that's considered in the category of fire. That's what I would think. Ema Seifa, let's go to the Seifa of the Brisa. E Eish, if the Torah only said Eish, Yechol shall have it, I would think it's a flame. He says, Tamalomar Gachale, Alma, if you lochashot, lav eishinu. That leads me to think that lochashot, if it's smoldering, it's not fire. But Amar Rav Sheshet, and Rav Sheshet, we got to touch up the brisa, and then we'll ask the question. But Amar Rav Sheshet, Hachi Katani. Rav Sheshet says, this is the way we should understand the brisa. Gachale, yechol bein omo bein lochashot. That if it just said gachale, I would think it could be the smoldering coal or the flickering coal. Tamalomar Eish. E-A shechol shall have it. If it's just a fire, I would think it shall have it. Tamalomar Gachale. Haketzad mevim and alocha showed. So the term Gachale Eish means that I'll use the flickering coals. Mikomakom Gachalim lo ikri Eish. But the bottom line is that even the smoldering coals are not called Aish. In other words, the point is that according to Rebbe, I put the Korban Pesach on coals. That's called Sli Aish. The Torah says, according to Rebbe, that I put the Korban Pesach on coals, that's called Sli Aish, fire roasted. But in this drasha, the Torah also says the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur has to go into the Beit Kodesh Kadashim with Gachalei Aish, fiery coals. And in the limud that the Brisa has, even the smoldering coals are not called Aish. They're called Gachalei Aish, but they're not Aish. And yet Rebbe identified it as Aish. So the Gemara says, so Kasha the Rebbe. So it's a Kasha against Rebbe. So Amar Abaye Taratzachi. I got to keep moving a little bit. I apologize, but we're running out of time. Okay. So Amar Abaye Taratzachi. We should understand the Brisa this way. Gachalei Yechol Omamot Lo Chashod. If it just said Gachalei, I would think it's the smoldering coals and not the flickering ones. Tamalomar Eish. E Eish Yechol Ratzachel Hevet Yavi Ratzachachalet Yavi. If it just said Aish, see the way Abai is touching up the Brisa, he's understanding it differently. Aish includes Shalhevet, and Aish includes smoldering the flickering coals. He says, Tamalomar, Gachale, Haketza, maybe even Aloha Shot. So he'll bring from the flickering coals. So the way Abaye touched up the Brisa, Aish includes Shalhevet, and Aish includes the flickering coal. So that's great with Rebbe. So the coal, the flickering coal is considered to be Aish. But then when it says Gachalei Aish, it's excluding the flame and say that he's got to take the flickering coals. All right, let me do a few more lines and we'll pause briefly, then we got to move on. Now we have Rava with a hay, but on the side it says it should be Rava. Amar Rava, Rava has a taina with a little bit of a piece of Abaye's argument. Amar Rava, Ratzaka Chalet Yavi, Ratzashal Hevet Yavi. So in the Ukimta, if it just said Aish, I would have thought the Torah is telling me that I could bring a flame or I could bring the flickering coal. So shall have it below gachelet hechi mashkachatla. What would be the case of a flame without a coal? Going to shafi lamana mishra v'atli beinura. If he smeared like a keli with oil and he lit it up. So in other words, so he says ahu. Lamali Kralamuti, why do we need a pasuk to exclude that? Hashlabni Melach Basarvadam in Osinkain, for a mortal king, I would never do it. Apparently, it's smoky that way. I don't know all the details, but it's a very smoky fire. So even for a mortal king, you wouldn't do that. Melach Malchem Lachim Lokoshim, for a Kaddish Baruch Hu, certainly not. So, in other words, in the Brisa, when it says Aish and it's saying, I don't know if it's A or B, so A is just the flame and B is where I have the flickering coal, but what would be just the flame? The flame would just be, I smeared a vessel with oil, I lit the oil, but that wouldn't be like pasta and even for like a human. So it doesn't make sense that would be something that I would be mesupak on. So the Gemara says, El Amarava Taratzachi. So Rav says, like he likes the beginning part of Abai's shot in the Brisa, but he finishes up like this: Elam Rava Taritachi, Gachalei. If it's just a coals, you call Omavot v'lalochashot. I would think it's the subdued coals, the smoldering coals, and not the flickering coals. Tamalomer Eish, E Eish. If the Torah just said Eish, you call Yavi Mechsa Gachalet uMechsa Shal Hevet. I would have thought that he could bring, let's say, like a burning ember, which is half Gachalet, half smoldering coal and half flame. He says, "Ada ayil legovai have a kula gachelet." And then by the time he gets in the Kodesh Kadashim, the whole thing will be gachelet. That's the key that the Gemara was mesupak on. Tamalomar v'lakach malo machta gachaleyesh me'alam isbeach mishat lakicha neve gachalim. That has to be the coals from the time that he takes it. Anyway, let me summarize, and I'll do two more lines, and we'll take a pause. The basic idea that Gemara was trying to reconcile: a Rebbe says that a hot coal is Aish, and in the Brisa it didn't sound like it was Aish, so the Gemara ends up saying it is Aish. that's the basically what we learned. Okay, now let me do two more lines. Ibailahu omamod o omamod. How do you spell omamod? Omamod were like the subdued coals, the smoldering coals. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Arazim lo Amamuhu Begana Lokim. So he quotes a pasuk from Yechezkel, it's talking about Chiram from Tzor, that the cedars don't subdue his splendor in the Garden of God. In other words, like he's praising Hiram, the king of Tzor, and even the Arzei Levanon, which are like, you know, these even till today, they have, you know, the cedar of Lebanon is on the flag of Lebanon even today, so many years ago. So even the great cedars of Lebanon, they don't diminish his splendor, Hiram. And it was Hiram is even like greater than the Arzei Levanon. So it's Ayin is the correct spelling. All right, let me pause. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, let me move on to the next Mishnah. Now, the next Mishnah and Sugya relates a lot to Yoredeya, like Kashrut and things like that. So let's go through it, and then we'll do another line or two, and then I think that'll be it. And this Shabbos is a very special Shabbos. We have a special guest this Shabbos. Michal Shimon is coming to Daf Yomi, I think live for the first time in almost a year. For the first time in almost a year. Welcome.
He went outside.
Oh, right. Live outside, live inside for the first time in almost a year. All right, let's sit. Okay, let's take a look in the Gemara. So the Mishnah is Manitin. Nagaba Charso Shaltanur. Let's say I'm roasting the Korban Pesach, and the Korban Pesach comes into contact with the earthenware wall of the oven. So he says, now that part is not Sliyesh anymore. That's getting like Sli Cheres. It's heated up from the Cheres. So you clove it mekomo. I have to like shave off the part that touched the wall of the oven. In other words, the wall of the oven is not sliyesh. So that part is pasul. It's that part I can't eat. So I have to be kolef it. Nataf me rofo la cheres v'chazari lav. Let's say some of the gravy dripped off, hit the cheres, and then sprung back on the Korban Pesach. He says, again, so the gravy now is heated up from the cheres, but it's not sliyesh. He says, ye told it mekomo. Now, again, each one of these terms, they're terms of art. One was klipa. Klipa is a thin layer. Now we have natila. Natila is a thicker amount. And according to the Rush, it's like ovi etzba, the thickness of a finger that I have to take that off. Okay. And he means because the gravy like permeates more deeply. He says, and the Ron learns not, it's not necessarily the size of a finger, but it's clearly thicker than Kidei Klipa. Okay. Now Nataf me rofo ala solet, let's say some of the gravy dripped down on some flour. Yikmotzit mekomo. So now this is very hot flour. So the hot flour was heating up the gravy. This is the way the Gemara takes it. So that gravy is prohibited to be eaten because that's pasul. So again, I have to kmitza. Kmitza is I take a handful, you know, and I remove from the solet. Okay, now
this is Pesach. Who's using flour on Pesach?
So flour you could use on Pesach. It's just when the flour.
Your matzah has flour.
Right.
You know, but this is flour with gravy.
Yeah, but the gravy just hit it now. So I had the hot flour in the oven. I don't know what he was going to do with the hot flour. Now the gravy hit it. So he's going to take away the part where the gravy hit. I don't know what to say. In other words, as long as the flour doesn't come into contact with water, he's okay.
Isn't gravy water?
So gravy is not water. Gravy, again, when there's no water. In other words, gravy is the animal's being heated up, and now juices are coming out from the animal. I don't know if that's the same thing as water. But either way, he's going to be kolef wherever the flour came. In other words, the flour is not chametz. It hit the flour. Whether it's a chametz problem or not, the Gemara takes it as more of a kashrut problem. But either way, he's going to be kolef. Okay? Or he's going to not be kolef. He's going to take the chametz. Okay. Now, sacho b'shemen truma, if he smeared oil of truma on the Korban Pesach, im chabur kodim yochelu. If the people at this Seder are all Kohanim, so no harm, no foul. It's the Shemen of Truma. They're allowed to eat the Truma. It's fine. And you're allowed to smear the Korban Pesach with Shemen and with fruit juice and things like this. You will see in the Gemara. Im Shel Yisrael, but if the membership of this Chabura is Yisrael, Im Chai Hu Yadichenu. So if it's raw, it hasn't been cooked yet, you just wash it off. He says, Im Tzalihu, if it's already roasted, and it can be roasted even if it's cooled off, roasted we take it absorbs more easily. Yiklof et hachitzon. He'll do klipa, and klipa we had already. It'll take the layer off. Sacho b'shemen shel maser sheni. Let's say he anointed the korban pesach with the oil of maser sheni. Maser sheni, you have to eat in Yerushalayim. Lo yasenu damim al b'nei chabura. He shouldn't say, gentlemen, you know, I added my oil for maser sheni. There's an extra charge, a surcharge for my maser sheni. Just shouldn't do that. She'ain, we have podim, and the Bach has she'ain mochrim maser sheni b'Yerushalayim. Either way, once it's in Yerushalayim, I can't sell it and I can't ask for money for it. So that's out. Okay, now two lines in the Gemara, and then we'll pause, take questions, and then I think that'll be it till Shabbos. Okay, so the Gemara says, and this is the, let me just say it outside and we'll do it inside. And the Gemara connects it to our sugya, but we're just going to do the beginning. There's a question of halacha. Let's say you have one, you know, Easter touching heter, or basar and chalav coming into contact with one another. So if it's sonane and sonane, so there's no problem. If everything's cold, I'm good. And now let's say it's cham and cham, each element is hot, then I have a problem, Easter and heter. But let's say one element is hot and one element is cool. So there's a machlok between Rav and Shmuel, will you say ila gavar or tata gavar? Do I say that the upper element predominates or the bottom element predominates? So if I say ila gavar and the upper element is hot, the bottom element is cold, then we assume that there's been, you know, absorption, the hot into the cold and vice versa. But if I say tata gavar, then we say not. Okay. And if I say tata gavar, anyway, you got the idea. Okay, let me do the Gemara and then we'll pause. So itmar, cham leto cham, if I have something hot and something hot, one is Easter, one's heter, or one is basa, one's chalav, divrei akol, asur. Everybody agrees that I have Easter there. Sonein leto sonein, cold and cold, he says divrei akol mutar. Cham letoch tzonim, tzonim letoch cham. Let's say one element is hot and one element is cold. Rav amar ila gavar. Rav says that the upper element predominates. And then I assume if it doesn't matter which one. So if the upper one is hot and the bottom one is cold, and I say ila gavar, then I take it that there's been, you know, an interchange in what's going on. He says Shmuel amar tata gavar. Shmuel says the bottom one predominates. So if the bottom one is cold, then I would say that was, you know, there was nothing so bad with this. Okay, any questions on what we did in the Gemara today? Anybody? All right. Now I do have a story which Michael never likes. I said in the story. There's
usually for good reason.
Anyway, I'll tell you. I won't go into the connections with it, but. I know in the beginning he has a whole piece. This is from the Aladaf. He wants to say, why is it Sliyesh? So Chidah says the korban represents our inborn character traits. And the Maral says the fire symbolizes the blazing light and energy of the intellect. Anyway, but he has a whole piece with this. So he wants to say that roasting the korban pesach on flames signifies the fire of the mind is applied to each of the midot. We can discern how, when, and to what extent it's utilized. All right. Anyway, he has a story. Rav Shach told the following true story. Listen to this. In a certain shtetl, a shop was owned by Jews that unfortunately sold treif meat. The proprietors approached the rav of the town and had the temerity to ask for a hechsher. The rav was flabbergasted. How can I possibly give you a hechsher when you sell non-kosher meat? The owners glibly replied, that's our point. You should give us a letter that clearly states that we sell treif meat and our shop is completely non-kosher. The Rav could not see the purpose of such a letter, but acquiesced. He handed them what they asked for, signed and sealed by him. The store owners framed the document and hung it on the wall behind the register, right near the entrance. Everyone saw the name and sealed the Rav up on the wall, and people flocked to the store to buy meat. No one bothered to read the fine print. Anyway, but the idea is like you have to have be discerning with these things. And I thought it's kind of interesting. You know, sadly enough, I don't know. It's, I think, a sad commentary. Even, you know, people they don't look at things too carefully. All right, let me end recording.
Wait. Very true, right? Michael,
wait.
That story.
All right, well, I'm going to end the recording. Did you want to say something, Aaron Moshe?
On the east side, I had a store on many years. We had a store for 100 years on Clinton's, on Rivington Street, near Clinton. And on House Street, there was Katz's Deli, and he wrote in the window, Busser, Busser. So the kuf, the basa looked like kosher basa.
They made him afterwards take it out because it said "Bossa Bossa, meet me" in Hebrew lettering.
On our way to Rabbi Kret on 125th Street and Old Broadway, on the corner there was a store that said Basar Tari.
Oh, really? Boy, so really,
you don't remember? Oh, you didn't live there.
Yeah. All right. This was, you said this is where?
125th Street and Broadway. Went into the Old Broadway, there was a big butcher that they should all think it's kosher.
All right.
When they saw the Hebrew writing.
And one Schwarzer was standing there and says, Kenizai.
All right. I'm going to,